Bristol Myers, makers of Sal Hepatica for the smile of health and True Shave, the beforehand lotion, presents the Eddie Cantor Show. Start tonight's program with America's number one song that was introduced for the first time on this program last December by Eddie Cantor and Nora Martin. We dedicate this song to our sponsors, Bristol Myers, who tonight are celebrating their 20th anniversary in radio.
Well, what do you know? She smiled at me in my dreams last night. My dreams are getting better all the time. And what do you know? She looked at me in a different light. My dreams are getting better all the time. To think that we were strangers a couple of nights ago, and that was a dream I never dreamed he'd ever say hello. Oh, maybe tonight I'll hold a tight when the moon beats night. My dreams are getting better all the time. Well, what do you know? She smiled at me in my dreams last night. My dreams are getting better all the time. And what do you know? She looked at me in a different light. My dreams are getting better all the time. To think that we were strangers a couple of nights ago, and though it's a dream I never dreamed she'd say hello. Oh, maybe tonight I'll hold it tight when the moonbeam shines. My dreams are getting better all the time. Sweetheart, those dreams, sweet dreams, our dreams are getting better all the time.
Gentlemen, I'd like for you to join with me now in congratulating our sponsors, Bristol Myers, on their 20th year in radio. Gosh, Harry Von Zell, the progress radio has made. I wonder if Marconi knew that through his years of research, his burning ambition, and his tireless efforts in the invention of radio, millions of people all over the world would someday learn to spell words backwards.
Eddie, now wait, stop clowning.
Gosh, when I think of what the programs of today were like 20 years ago.
What?
20 years ago, the Lone Ranger was just a Boy Scout. And John was still with his first wife. Yep, 1925, that was the flapper age. In those days, you wouldn't believe how short the women wore their dresses.
No kidding.
Yeah, but of course today things have changed. Women don't wear short dresses.
Well, what do they wear?
Short shorts.
No. Well, after all, Eddie, they have to do that,
they
know?
Do?
Well, yes, the government has prohibited the making of slacks for women due to war needs. You see, Eddie, that surplus material is needed for the front.
Harry, in slacks, the front isn't where they need the material. Where were we, Harry?
Oh, well, we were talking about the good old days 20 years ago.
Yeah, in those days, if a woman smoked a cigarette, no one thought anything about it. But today, if you see a woman smoking a cigarette, you're shocked.
Hmm?
Yeah, you wonder where she got it.
Oh.
The cigarette shortage. This morning I got a package of cigarettes in the drugstore, and when I was so darn mad.
But you got a package of cigarettes, why were you mad?
I waited so long to get that one pack, I smoked two packs standing in line. Two good packs of cigarettes, and look what I got.
What?
Queenies.
Hiya, Mr. Cantor.
Well, Leonard Sue's coming, Leonard. Hey, Leonard, Harry and I were just talking about the past 20 years. You know, tonight, Bristol and Myers are celebrating their anniversary.
Guys, when did they get married?
Oh, Leonard, listen, they're simply celebrating their 20th anniversary. They're not married. They're a firm like Sears and Roebuck.
Well, gee, aren't Sears and Roebuck married either?
No, Leonard.
Oh, that's a pity. They have so much furniture.
Look, they are not married, Leonard Seuss. And here's some more news that might shock you. Hart, Schaffner, and Marx aren't married either.
Oh, of course not. That would be bigamy.
Harry, would you please stand outside and watch for the union? I'm going to kill a young musician. Harry, isn't radio a wonderful thing? Last night, sitting in my home in Beverly Hills, I pressed a button on my shortwave set, and I was able to get news from halfway across the world.
Yeah, well, how is the news, Eddie?
Well, I'd like to give the people an idea of the broadcast I heard coming out of the Axis countries.
Okay, take it away, Tokyo.
Splashy flash. Ah, yes.
We have bad news tonight. Very bad news. Japanese ask for Russian hand in peace. Regret to report Soviet extend Russian hand from Russian nose. B-29 raids meeting stiff resistance over Tokyo. Everywhere, brave Japanese buildings going up to intercept them. Flashy flash. Japanese Navy urgently needs men. Report to nearest recruiting station immediately. All registrants must bring birth certificate. Also bring own boat.
We now take you to Berlin.
Good evening, people of the Fourth Reich. While we are awaiting a late bulletin from General von Schnappkopf, I will review the military situation. Do not worry about the outcome of the war. We have a bigger army in Germany today than we have ever had. Ah, if it was only our army. The Allied planes have again bombed Hanover. Poor Hanover. They bombed over Hanover, Hanover, Hanover. Last night we had to hand over Hanover. Pretty soon we hand over Hitler. What am I saying? I'll get killed. We still haven't received the late bulletin from General von Schnauskopf. So I bring you a newsflash. After the last Allied bombing, many Germans in Berlin wondered what happened to our leading hotel. Nazi spies in America report Hotel Berlin now at Warner's downtown in Los Angeles. Just a minute, ladies and gentlemen of the Third Reich. A newsflash is coming in. We regret to announce that we are unable to give you the late bulletin from General von Schnauskopf because before he could send the late bulletin, he became the late General von Schnauskopf.
News is good, Eddie, but you know something? I'm worried.
Why, Harry?
Well, I don't know what kind of a gift would be appropriate for me to give our sponsor, Mr. Bristol, on this occasion.
Well, what did you give Lee Bristol for Christmas last year, Harry?
Oh, for Christmas, it was easy. I passed the store that sold fishing equipment and remembered how crazy he is about fishing, you know.
So, what did you send him?
A fish.
Fine, I suppose if you like skiing, you send him some snow. Look, Harry, I'm sure the sponsor isn't interested in a gift from you for his anniversary. He's more interested in what you can give everybody.
What's that?
He'd like you to tell everybody how to feel better faster.
Oh, you don't mean...
But I do.
Oh. Well, I hope he's listening in. Ladies and gentlemen, when you wake up in the morning feeling sick and headachy due to the need of a laxative, take a glass of sparkling Sal Hepatica. For Sal Hepatica will really help you to feel better faster. In fact, taking Sal Hepatica then will bring you quick, gentle relief, usually within an hour. That means you don't have to risk feeling miserable all day waiting until night to take a laxative. And besides this quick, gentle relief, sparkling Sal Hepatica gives you another advantage. It helps sweeten an upset stomach by helping to reduce excess gastric acidity. So tonight or tomorrow, get a bottle of Sal Hepatica, remembering this caution use only as directed. Then whenever you need a laxative, morning, noon, or night, see how much faster you feel better, thanks to gentle, speedy Sal Hepatica.
And now, lovely Nora Martin singing the popular ballad.
I'm a little on the lonely, a little on the lonely side. I'll be thinking of you only, wishing you were by my side. Midnight, when you're not here, there's no one to romance with. So if I see you someone else, it's just someone to dance with. Every letter that you send me, I read a dozen times or more. And it wonders that I love you more and more. Oh, how I miss your tender kiss. And love to hold you tight. of the lonely side. Ooh, now.
Gentlemen, in honor of our sponsors, Harry Von Zell and I would like to present a cavalcade of radio during the past 20 years.
Twenty years ago, in 1925, when WHO of Des Moines, Iowa was 1 year old, the great team of Amos and Andy was known to millions as Sam and Henry. It was also the era of Pick and Pat, Molasses in January, February and March, Null and Void, and other famous blackface dialect teams, such as Chuck and Chuckle.
Hey, man, what you laughing at, boy?
I'm laughing at you, Brother Chuckles. You better pull them shades down at your house.
Why? Why I better pull my shades down?
Boy, when I passed your house last night, I could see you hugging and kissing your wife.
Joke's on you, Chuck. I wasn't even home last night. By the way, Chuck, how do you like it at Mrs. Jones' boarding house?
Well, tell you the truth, I'm getting awful tired of the food.
What's the matter with the food?
Well, she went to some grocery bargain sale and got a billion cans of salmon. Boy, we had salmon for breakfast, salmon for dinner, salmon for lunch. Man, I'm so full of salmon, I just gotta get out of that house.
Where you going, boy? To another boarding house?
No, I'm going upstream to spawn. Hey, boy, talking about salmon, how's your brother, Phil?
Yep.
That's it? Well, he's a mighty worried man.
He's worried what?
Well, he took his wife to see the picture Double Indemnity, and what do you think happened?
What?
She gave birth to twins.
Double Indemnity.
And then he took her to see Three's a Family, and she had triplets. Boy, the man sure worried tonight.
What for?
Last night they went to see Music for Millions.
Oh.
By the early 30s, radio had found its place in the heart of America. It was in this period that famous catch lines echoed around the world.
Was you there, Charlie?
Do you want to buy a duck? Yuck, 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 yuck. You nasty man.
Graham, the program's going to be different tonight, Graham.
And in 1932, millions of people were chanting,
"We want answers, we want answers.
I'm not a politician, so what I say is true. If you send me to Washington, here's what I promise you. Oh, when I'm the president, potatoes will be cheaper when I'm the president.
We want answers, we want answers.
I love the little kitties and want to help them too. So if your papa votes for me, I'll tell you what I'll do. Oh, when I'm the president, the parents will eat the spinach when I'm the president.
In 1935, radio, formerly only a medium of entertainment, became a potent weapon of law enforcement, as it was then that the first radios were installed in police cars.
Calling car 99. Calling car 99. Car 99, wipe off your windshield. Someone is stealing your radiator cap. Calling car 23. Calling car 23. Proceed to Fairfax and Sunset. Pick up a woman standing on the corner. She's wearing a red hat. That is all.
In the year 1939, war clouds spread over Europe. And as a result, there arose an epidemic of war analysts. Fearlessly, many of these analysts bared the real facts and made positive predictions in bringing their exciting news to the world. Such a commentator was John B. H.V. P.U. Cantor.
I predict, without fear of contradiction, that the present war will be a long one, or perhaps a short one. It may end any day or any month. On the other hand, it may take years. However, I do predict that the minute it stops, it will end. Some people may deny this, and others may say it is so. But whether you deny it or say it is so, you must admit that this can or cannot happen. And so, good night, I think.
And it was in 1940 that radio programs delving in human interest reached their peak. And listeners will long remember the heart-stirring drama often heard on the Court of Inhuman Relations.
Our next case will be handled by the wise and kindly Mr. Cleopatra, the distinguished head of the Court of Inhuman Relations.
Our next case is number 11757-39248652-2219590B.
I have a problem, Mr. Cleopatra. A terrible problem.
Yes.
My name is...
No names, please. We will refer to you as number 11757-39248652219590B. And what is your occupation?
I work for...
No names, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I lost my head. I'm so upset and unhappy.
Now, pull yourself together, 11757-39248652219590.
B.
Yep. Oh, of course. Now, what seems to be your problem?
Where'd you go over there? I came to see you about my wife, Mr. Cleopatra. Her mother is...
No names, please. What is your problem? Is it your wife's mother?
No. It's about my wife and me. When we were married 14 years ago, I thought our marriage would be a very happy one. A marriage blessed with loyalty and love and devotion. But ever since the day I married that wife of mine, our home has been nothing but a thing of disgrace and shame.
What seems to be the trouble?
I go out with other women.
One of the big events in radio came in the present year. Listen, 117,
I just... I can't stop.
All right, go ahead. One of the big events of radio came in the present year, 1945, when Harry Von Zell's baby, Eddie Cantor Von Zell Jr., spoke his first words over a microphone.
Now go, doggy-doo.
And it was only through radio that we were able to find out what this baby was trying to say when he said...
So this is our sponsor's anniversary. I wish the sponsor would give me a piggyback ride. He must be very strong. I heard Daddy say he's been carrying Popeyes for the last 5 years. When I was born, the sponsor came out to see me. He said, "What are you going to be when you grow up, little fella? A doctor? A lawyer? Or a banker? If he doesn't come through with a raise for my old man, I'm going to be a bum." When I grow up, my daddy wants me to be a famous radio announcer like him. I wish I was an announcer now. There are so many times when I have something to announce. Like right now. I would like to extend congratulatory felicitations to Bristol Myers, renowned for their products of extreme excellence and superlative quality, on their 20th anniversary. And wish them a happy and prosperous future.
Harry.
Yeah?
Harry, you know,
know, we've talked about Bristol Myers and we've talked about me. What were you doing 20 years ago?
Oh, well, Eddie, in 1925, I was in a snappy little roadster courting the girl of my dreams.
Oh, Harry, isn't it a beautiful night?
Yeah. Mildred, would you do me a favor and pucker up your lips?
I'm all puckered up, Harry.
Okay. When we get to the corner, will you whistle? My horn doesn't work.
Oh, Harry.
Why?
Harry! Harry, why are you stopping?
Well, honey, this is the moment I've waited for. Now close your eyes, hold out your hand, and promise me that you won't look.
All right, but... Harry, what are you putting on my hand?
It's something that won't be invented for a long time. Truchet, the beforehand lotion. You see, you've got such lovely hands, I wanted to give you something to help keep them that way until I could afford to get you a ring.
Will this keep them that way?
Oh, sure. And it'll guard them against the drying effects of hot soapy water.
Hot soapy water?
Sure, I thought when we first got married, you'd take in washing. Just light laundry, of course. Nothing...
But, Harry, you told me you were going to see a man about a job in radio.
Oh, yeah, Bristol Myers. And who knows, dear, in 1945, I may be telling women about a new idea in hand lotion. Truchet, the beforehand lotion. You see, you use it before you do your housework, before you do the dishes or undies, and it helps keep hands soft and smooth. Why, Truchet will guard your hands even when they're in hot, soapy water.
Oh, Harry, you make it sound so wonderful.
I do, don't I? But then Truchet is wonderful. And great as an all-over beauty lotion is a powder base and for rough elbows and chapped legs.
That too?
Yes, for Truchet is more than just another hand lotion. It's the beforehand lotion.
That sounds wonderful, Harry. When are you going to see the man about that job?
Yeah, well, I have an appointment with Bristol Myers tomorrow, and our marriage depends on whether or not I get the job.
The job?
Sure. If I get the job, I'll be able to support myself. I won't have to get married. Eddie,
yep.
Since our sponsor is celebrating his radio anniversary tonight, he decided to send over one of the country's leading scientists and inventors to discuss radio of tomorrow.
One of the country's leading scientists, huh? I think I smell a rat. How do you do? You? You a scientist?
Mine, dear Kelfer. During the past week, I have spent many hours in the laboratory with the country's leading scientists looking through a huge microscope.
What were you looking at?
Nothing. They were looking at me.
I don't think you ever met a scientist in your life.
Kelfer, this you won't believe because it's a lie. But my most bosom pal is Dr. Robert Vandegraaff.
I definitely do not believe, Russian, that Vandegraaff is your bosom pal. Why, Vandegraaff is the man who split the atom.
Who do you think he split it with?
Oh, I knew it, Russian. You're a fake.
Kemper, you've called me a fake, and I'm here to prove it. Take television, for instance.
Now, just a minute. Stop.
Take television.
Television is too serious a subject to be kicked around. Listen, do you know that before long, Russian, you'll be able to sit in the parlor with your girl and see a wrestling match coming from Madison Square Garden 3,000 miles away?
Careful, with television I can sit with my girl and watch two men wrestling?
Absolutely.
That's progress.
Take him, Harry.
Okay, Russian, have you ever thrown yourself into a topic seriously, completely?
You should have seen me last night.
Yes.
Here I am in my laboratory, burning the midnight oil. My head buried in my book. Beads of perspiration on my forehead.
Studying a secret formula.
No, reading Forever Amber.
You take him, Eddie?
No, you take him.
What am I, Mr. In-Between here? Back on already.
All right, Russian, Russian. Russian, I thought our sponsor sent you over to tell us something about the future of radio.
Precisely. Why, I am here. I have a farm just for radio research.
A farm? What has a farm got to do with radio research?
Mine, dear Gondrew. On my farm, I am raising 5,000 cats.
For radio cats? Cats?
I'm using the paws for station identification. that for nothing.
Yes?
I also have several thousand leopards.
Leopards?
For spot announcement.
No!
I suppose the next thing you tell me you're raising bulls for news bulletins?
Oh, that's a little crazy.
Mike, Russian, you ought to be ashamed, making a fool of yourself on tonight's program. You should think of our sponsor.
I not only thought of our sponsor, but because I love him. I love him.
All right, you said it.
I am throwing a party at my house in his honor, and I have invited 20 of the most beautiful girls in Hollywood.
But, Russian, the sponsor is in New York. Why did you invite 20 girls to your house in Hollywood?
Silly boy.
Tonight, we've had some fun at your expense, Bristol Myers. And come to think of it, most of this has been at your expense. You've provided the time. You really have provided the time for a lot of laughs for a lot of years. And more than that, you provided the time for many serious things, too. Your wholehearted cooperation made it possible for us to find the typical G.I. Joe, to campaign for Christmas presents to wounded servicemen, to sell bonds, get blood for the Red Cross, and recruit the nation for the war effort. And tonight, in the second week of our essay contest, you are making it possible for us to gather the high school students of the nation in an effort to eliminate juvenile delinquency. For that, thanks and congratulations.
And here are the essay contest rules for high school students. Eddie Cantor is awarding a $1,000 war bond, $750 in bonds, and a $500 war bond for the three best compositions on the subject, juvenile delinquency, its cause and solution. Special awards will be made to winning high schools. The essay may be of any length, and all entries must be in by midnight, April 27th. The winners will be announced 3 weeks from tonight. The decisions of the judges, J. Edgar Hoover, Nicholas Murray Butler, and Dr. Robert G. Sproul, will be considered final. Mail your essays on juvenile delinquency, its cause and solution, to Eddie Cantor, Beverly Hills, California. Eddie Cantor, Beverly Hills, California. You know, with spring in the air and romance just around the corner, a guy can't get to first base if he has a cold. Not only do you look bad, but you feel bad with the spring cold hanging on. And that's why, my friend, you should get yourself a jar of Minute Rub, the modern chest rub, to help relieve those uncomfortable and annoying cold symptoms. Relieve them fast, too. Just rub a little Minute Rub on your throat, chest, and back. And in a minute, there's a pleasant sensation of warmth as Minute Rub begins to stimulate lazy surface circulation. In a minute, Minute Rub's menthol vapors help relieve that clogged up feeling in the nose and throat. And listen, here's a chance to get a chest rub that's greaseless and stainless. Disappears like vanishing cream, so it won't harm clothes or linen. So get a jar of Minute Rub and help relieve annoying, uncomfortable cold symptoms the modern way. The greaseless, stainless Minute Rub way.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.